Sunday, the 12th of November, Rabbi Yehonatan Alperin, a case study on the importance of brachos.
Shalom aleichem, bruchim ha'nimtzoim. A short time ago, in Eretz Yisrael, at one of the asifas which were held because of the matter of the Torah, Lo'aleinu in Eretz Yisrael with Iran, the problems with the Arabs, Rav Steinman explained that in times of Torah in Klal Yisrael, one should be careful in three areas. Firstly, of Kedushas Beis HaKnesses. If you look in the Mishnah Berurah, Siman Kuf Nun Hei, Chofetz Chaim brings out the enormous tragedies that can happen in a shul when people are not careful enough of the Kedusha of the Mokum. That is Neimiyat HaOimei. Secondly, said Rav Steinman, one should be very careful to answer Omenya Heishmei Rabba with tremendous kavona. Chaim Volozhin writes, in Nefesh HaChaim, the enormous Shefa Toiv which comes down in the world when a person says Omen Yehishmei Rabba Mimokum Asilus Bria Asiya, the Shefa falls down Yehishmei Rabba Mevorach Lo'olam Ulomeo Mayo, enormous well-being which comes out in the world. And finally, he explains that in times of difficulties one must be great, take great care with brachas, of saying brachas in the morning, the whole day. The Makor is the Levush, really. In Gemara in Menachos Daf Mem Gimel, the Gemara brings down an awful maaser at the end of the life of David HaMelech. If you look in Shmuel Aleph, Shmuel Beis Perek Kof Gimel, the Gemara brings down there a maaser that every single day 100 people died at the end of the life of David HaMelech. And he was extremely distressed. He did not know the reason, the cause. And he was mispalel, and he was zeicher to a baskoil. And the baskoil came out and said, because there is not enough Shevach v'Hodor in Klal Yisrael because of the Toiv, the Hativ which Borei Olam gives, Olam Chesed Yiboneh, and there isn't any comeback. There's not enough Shefa Toiv. And because of that, David HaMelech was Mesaki in the Loshon of the Posek there in Perek Kof Gimel, Posek Vov, says the Loshon of Tikein Al. Al is Gematria 100. He was Mesaki in 100 Brochas, and from there the Gemara learns out, Mo Hashem Shoel Meimach Altikre Mo Elom Meir. The importance of saying brachas. From there, therefore, there should be kamuvan. I would like to take one of these areas of what Rav Steinman had said and concentrate a little bit on the time that we have on the chashivas and the importance of making a bracha. What does it mean behind a bracha? What's the great, what's the character and the nature of making a bracha? What's behind it all? Maybe we can start with the Loshon and the Gemara, and I'd like to do it perhaps in the time that we have in two ways. First in breadth, and then in depth. In breadth means to show different areas of where the brocha is so important, and then later to go right down into a brocha and understand what's the nature of the nusach that we have, which is given us by Enshei Knesset HaGdolah. First, three or four different areas. There's a gemara in brochas, daf nun ches amud aleph. The gemara brings down, oirach toiv mahu oimer. What does a good guest say when he comes to our house? Kama boso hevi lefanai, kama yayin hevi lefanai, kama gluskois. A gluske yofe is, I imagine, something like strudel and chocolate mousse. A really tasty dish. I have a wonderful host. I was so privileged to come to such a wonderful table. Everything that the host has done has all been for me. So the Gemara, avol eirach ra mahu eimer. What does a bad guest say? And all that my host has done has really only been for his family. It's not really for me. He might even turn around in a cynical way and turn around and, you know who the tzaddik is? It's me. Because otherwise it would throw the food out. I'm a tzaddik because I'm finishing it off. A bad guest. A good guest and a bad guest. The Gaon learns on that Gemara, who is the Barabbas? Bayre Oilam is the Barabbas. And who is the guest? You and me. We're guests in Oilam Hazer. And therefore, Komash Torach Barabbas, the Torach Ela Bishvili. And that's perhaps the first expression and definition that we should appreciate the nature of a brocha. A brocha are the words of a guest. He expresses something and he says, Shevach Lohidor. We'll explain in a few minutes, Mafokis Rishonim, what's behind a brocha. But the first understanding, perhaps it goes right to the heart of a Yehudi, Lohoidois, to express a thanks of what one has, the first nature. The second area, perhaps we can look at, is a pasuk and apply it from Mishnah, Perek Gimel, pasuk Vov, Pasuk says, "B'chol derechecha do'ehu, v'hu yayasher o'echoisecha." The Gaon there in Mishnah brings out the same word, but is said with a different word in Hebrew. "B'chol derechecha do'ehu, a derech, v'hu yayasher o'echoisecha." He will straighten out your path. The Gaon is worried in Mishnah. What is the difference between a derech and an oirech? Says the Gaon. A derech is something begolui. Something, the next four steps in front of you is called a derech. Something that you now have to do right in front of you. Do'ehu, know him. Recognize him in the next step. The who and he, v'ilei oilam, will straighten out your path. Oil choysecha, says the Gaon. An oirech is something bekisui, which is hidden. A derech is begolui, and an oirech is something which is hidden. Now there is, what Shlomo HaMelech is telling us here in Mishlei, there is a certain insurance policy here. Take the end first. Hu yayasha o'choysecha. What is an oirach? When a person worries, what will be with me when I'm 80, 90 years old? What will be with me when I, in 50 years' time? What will be with me when how can I marry off all my children? Those are all o'choys. There are drachim which are hidden from a person. How am I going to marry off my children? Where am I going to find shidduchim? Those are all orchos. They are not within our capacity. They are removed. Hu yayasher orchoisecho. He will take care of those hidden paths if b'chol drochecho, if you take care of the drochim. What greater derech is there than a brocha? I suggest. A brocha is a derech. It's the next thing in front of you. It's not hidden. It's right in front of you. A drink. An alatinas yodayim, an asher yotza. Those are right in front of you. Apparently, what Shlomo HaMelech is teaching us is as follows. B'chol derechecha do'ehu. Take care, in our capacity, in this particular shiur, take care of the brochas, b'vadai, everything on hand. But perhaps the most on hand, at least 100 times a day, is a derech, is a brocha. Take care of the brochas. And then v'ilei olam is an insurance policy, it's an investment. B'vadai, it's not made as an investment. No one makes a brocha with that ulterior motive, to intend to have a protection for those things which I can't take care of. Other it's a muvan, it's a haftocha. There is a haftocha that the Ribbono Shel Olam will take care of those things that you can't take care of. A second understanding, perhaps, of the nature of a brocha. The third is perhaps a little more removed and needs a certain examination. On a tainis, we say from Yeshaya and Perek Nun, we say the following lashon in the haftorah. The first was a haidah. The second was something like an insurance policy for caring with brachas. Look at this third nature, as an idea as in breadth. In other words, to appreciate brachas perhaps in this capacity. You cannot understand that Darkei Shamayim. Don't try, you won't work. You won't understand. As high as heaven is from earth, so are my ways. You can't work out that Geshamayim. Key, but this you can work out. When the rain and the snow fall, so everything prospers. That's understood. And the rain does not go back. In Perek Beis, what's going on in the pasuk? This we can understand. You can understand rain and snow. It's needed in order for everything of produce to grow. The first I cannot understand, Darkei Shamayim, but the simple laws of nature, produce needs rain. What does the pasuk, what does Yeshaya mean when he says, V'shamer lo yoshuv? Whoever had a thought, he's not assuming the rain cycle, that the rain goes out in clouds and evaporates and condensation. He doesn't mean that. V'shamer lo yoshuv. What does it mean the rain does not go back? Whoever thought it did go back, says Reb Chaim. The rain does not go back, but the bracha does. There's the cycle of economic prosperity. Shamer lo yoshuv. The rain does not go back. You send the bracha, he sends the tefuah. There's the cycle of economic prosperity. The whole secret is send back the brocha, and you send ruchnias, he sends gashmias. What a beautiful yesod. Miklal lav, ata shomea heim. Shoma lo yoshuv. The rain does not go back, but the bracha does. When he sends the bracha, you must send it back. You can't send back. You send back the ruchni, and he sends the gashmi. There's a Gemara, which is apparent on a similar basis, which perhaps can be learned out in Daf Chesed of Baba Basra. Here are the points, because people are worried about economic prosperity. It's not dependent on the World Bank. It's not dependent on the budget of the Chancellor of the Exchequer. Look at this Gemara. It says, Gemara in Baba Basra Daf Chesed. Rebbe Potach Oitzos B'Shnei Batzoyzos. Rebbe opened up, Rebbe Yehuda HaNasi was tremendously wealthy, and he had large stores. Oma Yukonsu Bali Mikro Bali Mishno Bali Gemora Bali Halocha Bali Hagoda. Anybody who has any connection to Torah, come and take. Abol Ame Ha'oretz Al Yukonsu. Please Amoratzim, keep away. Times of famine. Anybody who has any connection to Mishno, Gemora, Halocha, come in and take. Not Amoratzim. Dochat, Rabbi Yonason ben Amram. There was a certain time that Rashi brings out of Rabbi, whose name was Yonason ben Amram, was a tremendous tzaddik, but he did not want to take in the schus of his Torah. He was a type of tzaddik who refused to take, and he pretended and dressed up to be somebody else. The nichnas, omaloi, Rebbe, panaseini, please feed me. Omaloi, b'ni korisa, do you learn? Omaloi, lav. I don't know anything. Shonisa, mishnah, he didn't want to take. He didn't want to take in the schus of his Torah. There was a famine. He had no food at home. Omaloi, shonisa, loi. Oh, my lad, you came by now, Panasansecho. How can I feed you? Panaseini kekele, bucha oirev. So give me like a raven. It doesn't eat much like a dog. A tiny bit. Upanase. Bosa de Nofik. After he went out, Yosef Rebbe bekomitztaer. Rebbe was extremely upset. Oh, my, oily. Oive. Shonosati piti la'am ha'oret. I gave my food. Let's not look into the issue of stocky here. Just take the Gemara without too much understanding, but I gave my food to an Am Ha'oretz. Maybe it's your Talmud, and then Rebbe realized the Gemara brings out, maybe that's what people are doing, I can't afford that risk. And therefore he says, yeah, kulam, everybody should receive. Why was Rebbe so concerned in times of famine that an Am Ha'oretz should not receive his food? Because they don't make a bracha. There's the Gemara. You don't make a bracha, there's no, you schneid off, there's no connection in Shamayim. You don't send back anything. Nothing's sent back. And therefore, there's nothing sent back, therefore the famine continues. And our Ma'oris is not careful enough. And that's the pshat perhaps of a Chaim here in the Lashon of Shomer LaYoshuv. And our Ma'oris is not cautious. He's not careful. He's not concerned. He chaps and puts it in and doesn't make a bracha. So the whole economic cycle is ruined. In a time of famine, you can't take that risk. The third angle, perhaps. Maybe we can move over now into before we look into the Loshan of a Brocha, what's behind a Brocha, maybe we'll make a certain point. The Loshan of the Pasuk in Hazinu, Ki lo davar reikhu mikem. Torah is not reik. The last words of Moshe Rabbeinu before his Petira. Don't ever think that Torah is reik. Mikem, the Chazal, number is 100. Don't ever think that brachas are reik. Mikem. Mikem is 100. V'im reiku, mikem. You made it reik. Oh, but the brachas are not reik. Brachas are full of tremendous wealth, economically, as a guest, oirach toiv, as an insurance policy, v'vadai, v'orecha v'do'ehu, v'derech, and v'vadai, v'koyach, of all the problems of economy, sends back the shefa, enormous kayak which a bracha has. Let's move on to the other side. Let's look at a bracha in depth. Go down into a bracha and understand what there is. And I'd like, in the time that we have, just to analyze every single word that we have in the bracha and maybe give a certain zeros for what is meant. Machlokes Rishonim, most Rishonim, and what the word baruch means. Most say the Loshon of Shevach Vayivar. The Rashba, which the Chaim brings down in Nefesh HaChaim Shah Beis, explains that the word Baruch is also an expression of ribui, of more, of what there is and more. So says Rav Chaim. And I'd like to spend a little bit of time what's behind that Loshon of ribui. In other words, there is, besides the thank you, hidden in the thank you is a request for more of what there is. Have a look in the Baruch, in the Halacha, in Shulchan Aruch Kuf Pei, the loch halocha benching. One must never bench without the crumbs on the table. One is supposed to leave peirurei lechem al hashulchan. Why? Says the Mogen Avraham there in Kufpei, have a look. He brings down she'ein habrocha chal al areikom. Bracha never falls on nothing. A bracha falls on something. You need something for the bracha to fall on. And that's the reason why when you have the crumbs on the table, who knows lechem lechol basar, there'll be a ribwe of more of what there is already. It's a koyach of a bracha, according to the Rashba. We're saying only on the pshat of the Rashba. If you have a look, the Mogen Avraham then carries on. You remember the mitzvah of Haftorah Pashas of Ayeva of the Isha Hashunanim. The Eisha Zovadia, when he turned and he found Nebuch, she had lost her two children who were taken away by the creditors, and there was nothing for her to give. So Elisha turned around and said, Ma yesh loch baboyis? What do you have in your house? You have nothing except the tiniest cruse of oil. A tiny measure of oil she had. Chazal and Avi, enough to dig the end of the pinky. Mamash, a tiny little measure of oil. That's all she had. She had nothing. Her husband, Ovadia, had looked after all the Nevi'im in the cave, and he had died, Ovadia, and she was left with debts ad ein sof, and the creditors had taken her two sons as a mashkan for her debts. And she was a broken lady. And then she had the oil, and then she borrowed all the kalim, and then the oil poured, and there was no limit to the amount of oil until all the vessels were filled up. It's an interesting chazal. The chazal say on that loshen that because of the bracha of the oil that she received, that family remained one of the wealthiest families in Klal Yisrael, ad sof kol hadoyrek. It's interesting, making a good shidduch. I have no idea who they are. Shefa of oil and soif kaladai. Enormous shefa, which was received from there. Oh, but the loshen, the matzah tishashekel, brings down in Shimon Kufpei, the loshen in the things. Why? Because from the beginning of the Bria, there's never any more anything yesh me'ayin. That's only in the 6 days of creation. After the creation is yesh me'yesh. You must have something for the bracha to fall on. Once the yeshiva bacha came over to me in the mirror, I was discussing, he said, Gate Nishti, can't learn at all well. But I don't know why, but out of the back of my head, I suddenly thought of this notion here. But if you sit and learn and try, it's inevitable that you'll find results. If you don't open the sefer, then you won't have a bracha. Yesh mi yesh. You must start trying. And from the trying, ein bracha chalav areikom, you must have something there for the ribui to take effect. Let's move on. Ato. The Rashba in Shuvas, in Chelek Hay. If you want to have a look at some beautiful Shuvas on Brochus, from Shuva Nun to about Shuva Nun Vov, Nun Zayin, the Rashba brings down all different Shilas that he was asked on Brochus. One of the Shilas which the Rashba was asked is, why does the Brocha always change from Nigla to Nisto? Every Brocha starts with Noichach, Baruch Ato. Ato is you, as if I'm talking to somebody. And then it slips into third person. Ha moitzi lechem min ha'oritz hi hu. You go from you hu, ato, to hi hu. Why do you change? Why doesn't Nusach change in a bracha? And the Rashba explains. He said there are sodos in Nisbah, which actually connects to Mishma Masakin on that, but we don't. He said, but ein lanu eisek ben Nisbah. So the Lashon of the Rashba and the Tshuva. Other than Pshat, I can tell you, he said. Because one of the main yesodos that a person has as a Yehudi is to know. Mitzad echod, he's nimsa and nire. The apple that I hold in front of me, baruch apple. It's you who made it. The lechem that I am. It's you who created it. It's you. There's no doubt. You are the one. Says the Rashba, but a person might come out with meshabesh daitoi. He might come out as an apikoyis. Because he thinks Hashem is apple maker. He thinks Hashem creates eyesight, pakeach ivrim, the zer kol, and that's a das meshubash. It's an apikoidus to think that. Borei Olam is massive, but it's beyond our hasogos. And therefore, to make sure that you never think you are so familiar, it changes over to hihu, from active to passive. Neichach to nista. So you shouldn't think that. You should not shrink him. You should stretch him. So the bracha b'vaday is the drink in front of me, shahako. But there's more to him than that. Much more. The olam is inside. And therefore the bracha changes into the third person, that we should remember in the Hashkofa, says the Rashba. And therefore every bracha is Boch Ator, and then goes over to Hihu. Hamaiti Boire, Hihu Me. It's a different first person to second person to third person. That's the reason why. Now if you look carefully, the Gaon in Aderes Eliyahu brings down a very similar Hakira with the Shemas of the bracha. There are basically three words that we have to refer to him. El Hashem, Elokeinu, and Melech HaOlam. The Gaon says in Aderes Eliyahu that the Shem Hashem is Lamaisa beyond our understanding, so much so we don't even say the word for it. It's written Yud and Hey and then Vav and Hey. We don't say that. Rabbeinu Bachai brings down in Parshas Kisiso. The reason why we don't say it is because it will be over lo siso, Shem Hashem Lashov. You cannot say his name because you don't know what you're referring to. And therefore we have the name Adnus. We say Ad and then Noi. But that's not what's written. And therefore he is totally hidden from us. Shem Havaya, we say Adnus for Yud and Hey, but it's not correct. Because we can't perceive him beyond our understanding. And that's Shem Havaya. Elokeinu, Bereishis Bara Elokim, is Shem Havoyre, the name of Hashem as the Creator. That's why in all of the beginning of Bereishis, the first chapter in Bereishis is all Elokim. Elokim is the manufacturer, the producer, the manager. Elokeinu is perceptive, says the Gaon. Similar to the way the Rashba learns in Tshuvas of the you to the he, is the way the Gaon says by the Shemais. Hashem is beyond our understanding, and that's like the passive of the end of the Brocha. And Elokeinu is the Neichach, the Nigla, the understood, which we have, which means the active creator. And that's the reason why we have. So the same concept that the Gaon brings out by the Shemais is exactly the same as the way the Rashba learned it through in the same concept. We're left with Melech HaOlam. A beautiful Loshen in the Roshas of the Ran. The Ran, Joshua Zion, brings out a beautiful explanation. By Umos HaOlam, he's Melech HaOlam, the king of the world. He has there's no personal connection. There's no connection. Melech HaOlam, the king. By Klal Yisrael, by Aten, Hadveikim, Hashem Elokeichem, Elokeinu, ours. And therefore the Brocha makes an automatic distinction between Elokeinu, which is a Loshen of Yedidus, of ours, Ovinu Malkeinu, ours. There is a connection. Doesn't exist by Umos HaOlam. By Goyim can well have Emunah in God. They can have a belief in God, but there isn't any Yedidus. And that's the whole introduction to Yomim Noraim, Ani Yodoidi V'doidi Li. You can connect with him. Atem Advekim Hashem Elokeichem. Tremendous ability in Klal Yisrael. That's the reason why, according to the way we're understanding in Iran, the Chiluk is Hashem. Elokeinu is for us. Melech HaOlam is for them. The difference in connection. Why we need them? Because it's not just by Klal Yisrael. It's Melech HaOlam. And there's the Brocha. Boruch is a Loshen of Shevach V'Hidoya, most Rishonim. Although I brought in the Rashba as an extra understanding. Perhaps the ribui, the person makes a brocha, there's a ribui. Perhaps that's the understanding of how we understood Rav Chaim Volozhin in the Loshen Shomer LaYoshuv. The boruch is the ribui. The Bnei Shel Olam gives more, even though it's an expression of thanks. A brocha is also, and what you give, when you have the crumbs on the table, who neitzein lechem v'yitein v'yoicha v'yitein, v'yamshich v'yitein, he'll give and he'll give more, that's the kayach of the brocha. Ator, learning through the pshat of the Rashba, goes from the apple, which I have in front of me, you, the creator, into the niftar, which is the Loshen of the hidden, which is the end of the bracha. Shemais is Hashem Elokeinu, the same concept, so that we should understand when making a bracha what's behind it, what we don't understand and what we do understand, and then Melech HaOlam. That's the bracha, and that should be an in-depth understanding. We have in breadth, and we have perhaps in depth. In breadth is the Hidor, is the investment, without an ulterior motive. And the Vadai, the economic cycle of prosperity, is dependent on that, the way we're understanding Shomer LaYoshuv. In depth is the way we understand it, between it. Perhaps we can finish the two concepts and two understandings. A child in Gan, a child even before Gan, is apparently taught how to make a brocha. First thing a child learns after Shema Yisrael is a brocha. But there is a beautiful moshel which Rav Kamenetsky once explained, which perhaps goes to the need to mature in making a brocha. He explained with a beautiful moshel of a child of 3 years old who is given a pair of tzitzis. And when he gets to 6 or 7, so he changes the beged. The person gets to 13, but by that he changes the beged. Said Rav Yaakov, there's no greater zilzul than a man of 25, 30 who's wearing a dinky pair of tzitzis which he never changed. Mazeh. The zilzul, what you grew up to change the beged. Perhaps that's one of the prerequisites that we have on concepts of a brocha. A brocha is not something that stays with you. A brocha should go. One is supposed to mature with a brocha. And therefore the time and the havona and the understanding and the nature of a brocha needs a tremendous amount of maturity in time. That it shouldn't remain like Nebuch by some people. You mention the name Yosef and you say a coat of many colours. Yosef was of the Tzadik Olam. Avraham Avinu had a house with 4 doors. Come on, but Avraham Avinu is Amud of Chesed. One has to mature with the concept. And the Radai, one has to mature with a brocha, to understanding, to take it slowly. I remember I once went to ask a shayla of an Odom Gover in Yerushalayim, and he gave me a drink. I can see it so clearly. I made the best brocha I think I've ever made in my life. I stood in front of an Odom Gover, I took it slowly. He turned around to me and said to me, "Is a brocha mod yafeh?" And I remember my first reaction, I was, "Who do you think you're talking to?" "Man, yeah." He said that to a little child. I looked at his face. There was no cynicism in his face. I took it in my capness to be like that. The brocha yafeh. He meant it. The brocha yafeh. It's a nice brocha. Not a weak brocha, a nice brocha. I was once sitting at a kiddush with my children in Hanok on Shabbos morning. And you make kiddush. My children were around me. There was a man opposite me. I knew him well. And I made the brocha. And after I finished the bottle, we'll make it sitting around. And he turned around to me and he said to me, "You know, the Manchester Rosh Hashiva would never have said amen to that bottle he just made, with all my children next to me." I prayed for Kailach, you know. Father, my children. He said, "According to the Manchester Rosh Hashiva, you dropped a letter, you dropped the hey." I said, "Melech Olam. Melech Ha'olam." He didn't say amen. That's how he held. You don't say the bracha clearly, it has to be said correctly. Melech ho'olam. Ever since, my children haven't forgotten. You have to know how to make a bracha for you. Make a bracha with care. Let's finish with a maimah of Rav Yerucham. Rav Yerucham brings down in one of the ma'amorim, one of the beautiful moshel which he heard from the altar from Kelm. I'd like to adapt it and use it maybe for our time, but I hope the bracha will help with 100 and make this maimer give a certain enthusiasm for care with the bracha that one makes. I've adapted what the moshel was, but here's the moshel of the alpha. An American and an Englishman are flying into Heathrow Airport. And the American turns around and says to the Englishman, I hear the Queen of England is a rich lady." "Rich? Well, what do you mean rich?" "She's a very, very wealthy lady." "What do you mean wealthy?" He says, "Well, you know, I come from, there's no one in my street who doesn't have a Cadillac." Wait, 1 minute. Says the Englishman. He said, "There's about 5 swimming pools in my back, in my street." "Wait 1 minute," the Englishman said. I said, "Let me explain something to you. Let's get things straight. When you arrive in London, do yourself a favor. Go down to a place called Buckingham Palace. We're not talking about a Cadillac here. We're talking about Buckingham Palace. There's no mortgage payments which you pay off on Buckingham Palace. Buckingham Palace is a massive palace. And then, you know, with that in mind, take a trip down the River Thames, and you'll go and see Windsor Castle, and she owns that as well. Then come back into London, you'll see the Crown Jewels. And, you know, most of the city is her estate." So the American sits there with his mouth wide open and says, "Well, I see. Uh-huh. So we're not talking about a Cadillac here. We're talking about deep wealth." Now, the Alta said as follows. using it, I'm using his idea, but this is the concept. What changed the opinion of the American? If the Englishman would have turned around and says, what do you mean, she's an extremely wealthy lady? So she would have had two Cadillacs. But when you go on and say, now, there's Buckingham Palace, there's Windsor Castle, there's the Crown Jewels, and most of the city, detail, detail, detail. Every detail makes a very great impact. The detail. The altar was asked, why do we have to make 100 brachos? Surely say at the beginning of the day, Shahakol, with a gamamu. Shahakol niye bidvoloi, I've covered it all. Because there's nothing more. Shahakol niye bidvoloi. No. It's not for him, it's for us. There's one, and then there's number 32, and then there's number 64, and then there's number 89, and one after another. The detail on our brachos gets us to the point of realizing and if it is, it's mikem, we made the 100 week. Each detail that they're in, every brocha on a bathroom, on a yadayim, on a cup of coffee, on a banana, every detail, if one bears in mind the hoidor, the investment, the economic cycle of prosperity, the nigla and the nista, the boruch and the shefa, the ator and the shemos, and one builds them in them in one's mind, why the shemos change, then the zadai, it won't be waked by us when we can be mischazik. And if we go back to the words of Rosh Steinman, if we can be mischazik in the koichot, the brachot that we make, the vadai, this is called an eis tzora of Klal Yisrael. Here in London, Reb Elia once set out in Eitz Chaim Yeshiva, which he said he heard in the name of Rabbi Chanan, which Rabbi Chanan had heard in the name of the Chofetz Chaim. He had said that there would be three wars of Gog and Magog in Klal Yisrael. And he was asked this in 1918, and the Chofetz Chaim said, that what has just happened was called the First World War of Gog and Magog. The First World War. He then said, Reb Elia said, that there will be another one 25 years later, which will make the first one look like child's play. He knew then. It would make those were the words. But if Zalman actually went into the Chofetz Chaim and asked him what he meant, he said, well, literally what I said, it will make the first look like child's play, the second one. The third one, this is all recorded, if you want to look it up, in Lev Eliyahu, and the very last shmuz in Lev Eliyahu Pashas Yisrael, the very last one, it's all written down there, what Reb Elia had said. Then he said, the Chofetz Chaim had said, the last one will be an Eis Tzora LeYaakov. Not more. He didn't say a war. The last war of Gog and Magog will be an Eis Tzora. Mi yodeh, if that's what we're going through now, certainly now as well. The difficulties, the great Aniyim, problems with Iran, it's an Eis Tzora, a man of that. But Vadai, the difficulties which Klal Yisrael are facing, with many, from within and without, it's an Eis Tzora LeYaakov. Interesting, the Bochonan added on those words of the Chofetz Chaim the following. The Hamaskil Bo'eis Hahi, and a person who has Seichel at such times, Yidoim V'Yitkoinein, will be quiet and prepare. Ula Yire B'Nechomah Tzion B'Yerushalayim. Maybe they will see the Nechomah of Klal Yisrael, the Ofid Lofer. The Hamaskil Bo'eis Hahi. And a person at such a time, a maskil, let's take just a few of the brachas, careful, say the brachas slowly, say it with caution, for eis hahi, at such times, ulai yire, yidam yitkoinen should prepare, one should prepare with one's brachas, ulai yire, the niske kulonu lirais, b'nechom asir, b'yushalayim.